turn this evening to the 89th Psalm, Psalm 89. Psalm 89, and we read from verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord, like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee. Now to verse 20. I have found David my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established, mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. May God bless us that reading. Amen. The attribute for our consideration this evening is that of faithfulness. The faithfulness of God. Our sermon will be based upon a few words which are found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7 and verse 9. There in Deuteronomy, chapter 7 and verse 9, we read these words. Know, therefore, that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. The Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. I believe faithfulness to be one of the most precious and comforting of all the divine attributes to the child of God. It is the pillow upon which we lay our weary head when the going is rough. When we are engulfed and well nigh overwhelmed, maybe, by the problems and the disappointments of this life, we come into the presence of our God in full assurance of faith, knowing that He is faithful that promised. The words of Hebrews 10 and verse 23, He is faithful that promised. What a stimulant this is to our fainting hearts. How it can brace our feeble knees to be reassured that God is faithful. He never fails. He always has us before Him, whatever our circumstance, whatever our situation, though it be irksome to the flesh, though it be fraught with much anxiety, He has the whole situation in hand. And in the ultimate, it will all work together for our good. Our God will never fail us because He is faithful. We have seen and established in previous sermons that all the divine attributes harmonize. They all harmonize. They must. For only in their entirety are they the expression of God, the faithful God. Only in their entirety do they express the faithfulness of God. He never fails. The God of heaven never fails, because coupled with His faithfulness is His power. You see, mortal men fail, and they disappoint oftentimes. Their intentions may be good, but they have not the power, they have not the ability to carry out that which is their intention. You see, our God is faithful, and coupled with His faithfulness is unlimited power. We've not dealt with that attribute yet, but when we do, you'll see again how all these things harmonize and link up. You see, it can never fail. God can never be unfaithful to His promises for lack of power. This can never happen with the eternal God. One of the outstanding characteristics of this evil day is unfaithfulness. It's one of the characteristics of this age, unfaithfulness. Look into the world of commerce and industry. Think of the unfaithfulness of employees. And then think of the unfaithfulness of many employers. Take business transactions. How often in this day and age is a man's word his bond? And it's a rarity. It's a rarity. There was a time when a man did a deal by word of mouth. He shook hands. He wouldn't budge from it. It's not the case today. I'm talking to a man only the other day on this issue, and he said, well, that's not the day in which I live, you know. Might have been true in your day, but it's not true in my day. In the social realm, with the awful scourge of marriage infidelity, today the sacred bond of wedlock is broken and thrown off with the ease of discarding an old coat. Unfaithfulness. If one thinks of politics, surely the least said the better. For one after another in the political field are seen to be not true to that which is entrusted to them and that which is expected of them. Think of all the promises which are made at a general election. How many of them are carried out? And even if their intentions were good, and one fears that often they're not, but even if they were, these men just have not got the power to see it through. They can't cope with the problems as they arise. Yes, in the political field, there is unfaithfulness, and not only to their promises, but they do not live the lives which is expected of those that are elected to positions of authority. Take a global view. Where great international affairs are concerned, do we not see treaties of enormous import just treated as mere scraps of paper? In consequence, uncertainty, fear, and alarm covers this planet as men just cannot be trusted. They're not faithful. Now let us turn our attention for a moment to the religious sphere. The grossest and the most detestable unfaithfulness of all. As men who profess to believe the Bible, yet they ignore great portions of it, pronouncing other parts as not relevant to society. That is, they may have applied to the Jews or to the Orientals, but they're completely out of place in the Western world. There are literally thousands of men who have solemnly covenanted to preach the truth of God as it is found in His Word and as it has been held by the true church down through history. But they have drifted. They've drifted from that which has been the standard of genuine evangelicalism. And now many deny, yes, and even attack some of the very fundamentals of the faith, to say nothing of their unbiblical and irreverent church order. All this can be summed up in one word, beloved. Unfaithfulness. In whatever avenue we look, that one word succinctly describes this age. Whatever sphere we look. Social, business, commerce, political, religious. It's marked by unfaithfulness. However, it is gloriously possible to look in another direction. And how refreshing this is to lift our eyes above the chaos and the corruptness of this scene and to behold one who is faithful. Faithful in all things, at all times. We read that verse in Psalm 89 and verse 8 this evening. O Lord of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? You see the two attributes linked here? The strong Lord, the God of power. Thy faithfulness which is round about thee. Faithfulness and strength. Psalmist says, or the prophet Isaiah rather says, in chapter 11 and verse 5, that righteousness is the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Righteous and faithful. For the God of heaven to be unfaithful would be contrary to his very nature. Indeed, that is an eternal impossibility. For the God of heaven to be unfaithful is an eternal impossibility. When we think of the word eternal, we think of a realm where there's no beginning and no end. So throughout eternity, the existence of God, which ever has been and ever will be, it's an impossibility for him ever to be unfaithful. In the second epistle to Timothy, chapter 2 and verse 13, 2 Timothy 2 verse 13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Whatever men may believe, whatever our impressions might be, he abideth faithful. See, the attribute of immutability, unchanging. God abideth faithful. Psalm 36 and verse 5, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Our thoughts have already been directed in this service, both in our hymns and in prayer, of the infinity of the Almighty. It's in the heavens. The heavens. That realm of which man knows so little. Vast solar system. And it reacheth unto the clouds, the lower heavens, that which pertains to Earth's solar system. God is infinite. In Numbers 23 and verse 19, Numbers 23 verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? If God has decreed, if he's spoken, if he's purposed a thing, then he'll do it. He's not a man. He's not restricted as to ability. If God has spoken, shall he not do it? God is the God of all power. When we speak of the Almighty, we mean what we say and what that word means. I feel oftentimes we do not enter into the meaning of biblical terminology. Almighty. No restriction. The Lamentations of Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God is immutable. God is infinite. God has all power. And God is faithful. It is because of the faithfulness of God that he is true to his word and to all his covenants. We've come through the covenants in a recent series of ministry. All those Old Testament covenants which were gradual unfoldings of the everlasting covenant, revealing to us something of the purposes of God and all that was entailed in the outworking of the ultimate, the great covenant of grace, all prefigured. And God is faithful to those covenants and to all that was revealed in the Old Testament types and shadows and to all that is prophesied. God is faithful to every word which he has spoken. He never breaks contract with himself or with his creatures. Never. I would say that the most common and the most prevalent sin of all time in any and in every generation is lying. The most prevalent sin of all time in any and in every generation is that of lying. At the very commencement of human history, it was a lie and the belief of that lie which caused the ruin of the race. There Adam and Eve turned away from the God of truth to follow the father of lies. And all Adam's posterity have inevitably followed in the same line. I remember reading a story some years ago of a foreign businessman who was engaged in a transaction with a man in this country. And as that foreigner sat talking across the desk to the Britisher, he said this: in Siam, there is a law that if a man lies, then his mouth is to be sewn up for 3 days. Said the Englishman with a smile, if there were such a law in force here in England, there would not be anyone to answer the telephone. Amusing? Maybe. But is there not a vast amount of truth in it? The proneness of mortal man to tell lies, yes, and to believe lies, is one of the startling facts of human history. Because that seed was sown in Eden. Lies and the belief of lies. In the days of the Old Testament, Israel, those people, the Israelites, desired, yes, they actually desired that the seers and the prophets should preach lies unto them. They actually requested that the seers and the prophets should preach lies. Listen to these words from Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 30, verse 9. Isaiah 30, verse 9. This is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit. Incredible, we say. Incredible. What is it? This is still the preaching which men want today, and unfaithful ministers give it. Anything but the truth. They will wheedle around the plain truth of Holy Scripture and so preach the content of the Bible as to make it mean anything and everything but what it is intended to mean. There is within the natural man not only a proneness to lying, but also a natural leaning toward that which is deceptive. And man will fall for that. He'll believe the lie. He will not believe the truth of the Word of God. There is only one man Let's none of us be priggish about this. There is only one man who has ever walked this earth of whom it could be said, neither is any deceit in his mouth. That man was Christ, God incarnate. Said he, I am the truth. And this world had never seen such a one before. He said, I am the truth. On another occasion he said, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into this world, that I should bear witness to the truth. No other had ever done it in its entirety. He was born that he might bear witness to the truth. In another place, he is styled as faithful and true. Revelation 1 verse 5, Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the faithful witness. Revelation 3 verse 14, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. The faithful and true witness. Scripture abounds with words which assure us of the faithfulness of God. Think again for a moment upon those well-known words in Genesis 8 and verse 22. This has come before us in our hymns this evening. Genesis 8, 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. These things, beloved, seed time, harvest, cold, heat, summer, winter, day, night, they continue. They continue not because of natural causes. They certainly do not continue because of some evolutionary process. They continue because of a faithful God. God made that promise to this planet. And I repeat what I said earlier in this sermon. He never breaks contract with himself nor with his creatures. The seasons will never fail. Oh, those of us who have been on the land, we readily confess that sometimes we get a bit agitated. Oh, it's a late spring. The weather doesn't clear up. We can't get on the land and so on. God forgive our impatience, because these things will never cease. They talk about global warming, and goodness knows what the result will be. I don't believe it. As long as this planet spins in space, there will be the regularity of the seasons. God's in control of this. And he's faithful to himself. He never breaks contract. They'll never fail because God is faithful. God made great promises to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. Promises concerning his seed. We've seen all this too in the covenant. We saw much of this. There was an earthly aspect. There was, yes. But over and above the material aspect was the spiritual. And all of it was but an unfolding of the everlasting covenant. And in that covenant, the main theme of it all was that God had promised to fallen humanity a Savior. He promised a Savior. Isaiah chapter 7 spoke of his coming in verse 14. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. 750 years passed, and then we read in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, and when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, made under the law. God had said 750 years previously, a virgin shall conceive, shall bring forth a son, his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with men. When the fullness of time was come, God sent him forth, made of a woman. God said of this one, his only begotten son, who was now in fashion as a man, speaking of him after his incarnation. And he said of this one, that he that is, God the Father, he would be pleased to bruise him. Emmanuel, his only begotten Son. God said, I'll be pleased to bruise him. He said that he would put him to grief, that he would make his soul an offering for sin, that as a lamb he would be led to the slaughter. God said, he shall be wounded for your transgressions, and he will be chastised by divine wrath in order that he might secure for his people peace. Yes, God had even said that he would lay upon him the iniquity of us all. God said this. We turn over the pages of our Bibles from the writings of the prophets to the writers of the four Gospels of the New Testament. And in so doing, we come down through hundreds of years, and we look into Pilate's judgment hall. And there we see a man standing in solitary silence, hounded and jeered by a rabbled mob, God's Lamb. I see him led out onto the pavement and scourged with lead-tipped leather thongs. I see him taunted and spat upon. I see the hair plucked from his cheeks. Yes, I see that blessed person bearing shame and scoffing rude, as in my place condemned he stood. I see a cross being dragged out by Roman soldiers, and it's laid upon his lacerated, bleeding back, the back of God's incarnate Son. I see him being led down the street of Jerusalem, bearing that cross. Yes, he, the Son of God, led as a lamb to be slaughtered, nailed to a gibbet, wounded, bruised, put to grief, bound to the altar in order that his soul might be made an offering for sin. Why, dear ones? Why did all this come to pass? Because God is faithful. That's why. He never breaks a promise. He never breaks a prophecy. He never breaks a covenant. God had promised his Son as a Savior for sinners. God promised him as a Savior for sinners, and he gave him. Now for an application. Do we all see our sins as covered by this great work of Christ in atonement? Do we? Remember, dear ones, that which came before us a month or so ago when we dealt with another attribute, that of divine holiness, and there we saw that every sin of every person of every generation is judged in one of two places. Either judged at Calvary or the lake of fire. If any man or woman, boy or girl, is not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, the substitute, then their blood is upon their own heads. And such will receive the due reward of their deeds. If I am speaking to any unsaved person now, do not be deceived, dear one. Do not be deceived. If you neglect or if you reject God's great salvation, you will never escape the fires of hell. If your sins are not covered at Calvary, then they're upon your own head. If they're not judged in Christ, they'll be judged on you in person. Why? Because God is faithful. He's faithful. I am but setting before you the way of life and the way of death. These are the plain facts of Holy Scripture, the words of God himself, and God stands by his word. He who He is the one who will not deny himself. He is faithful to himself. He is faithful to his truth. Now for another aspect, upon the same theme. It is a word of encouragement to us, the Lord's people. God has made unto us exceeding great and precious promises. But are we living in the good of them? Or have we forgotten? We all pass through times of testing, seasons of difficulty, when the clouds hang low, when the mists surround us, the fog thickens, and perhaps on times visibility seems to be nil. Our spiritual circulation is poor, the pulse is weak, the breathing of the soul becomes labored. Perhaps the ears are deafened by the din of the world. The mind is harassed by the continued atheistic whisperings of Satan. Our plans fall flat. We just seem to be staggering along in the unknown. In times like this, we find it extremely difficult to harmonize God's frowning providence with his gracious promises. We just cannot harmonize them. Well, Isaiah has the answer to this problem, a problem which we all have to encounter on times. And Isaiah says in verse 50 and verse 10, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." Now this is spoken to those that fear the Lord, those that seek to obey his word, and yet they're walking in the darkness. They just haven't any light upon the Christian pathway at that particular time. And Isaiah says, let him trust in the name of the Lord and let him stay upon his God. When we cannot understand God's mysterious dealings, we are to stay upon our God, lean upon him, and wait for the light, for he is faithful, immutably so. We do not understand it at the time, but light will come. I think of the words of our Lord himself as recorded in John 13 and verse 7. Jesus answered and said, "What I do now, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. What I'm doing now to you, you do not understand, but you'll know hereafter." The sequel to our particular experience, brethren and sisters, will demonstrate that our God has neither forsaken and neither has he deceived us. These perplexing situations are often so necessary for our development. And this is another aspect of the same attribute which I must not pass over. In Psalm 89, we read it this evening, Psalm 89 and verse 32, "Then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail." The rod, the chastening, necessary for us. But God will never take away his loving kindness from us. His faithfulness will never fail. Psalm 119 and verse 75, the psalmist says, "I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right." Oh, he didn't question when affliction came his way. He says, "I know that they're right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me." In faithfulness thou hast afflicted me. You see, even chastening can be the very expression of God's goodness, his loving kindness, and his faithfulness, even chastening. To be full of care, and alas, some Christians are. As they look out, all they see is the mud. They never see the stars. I say to be full of care and to view our circumstance with grave forebodings, to anticipate tomorrow with sad anxiety, is indicative of a poor state of heart. What is more, it is casting a very dark shadow upon the holy character of God. To those who are older, rest assured of this, my brother, my sister, that he who has cared through all the years will not forsake in old age. He who has heard our prayers in the past will not refuse to supply our need in any future emergency. 1 Peter 4 and verse 19 is such an apt word here. The Apostle Peter says, "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God, and no redeemed sinner ever suffers apart from the will of God." We're never outside of his will, whether it is in joy or in sorrow, in sickness or in health. Let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Oh, may our consideration of this attribute be of strength and encouragement to us, that we might grasp something of the meaning of this divine perfection, faithfulness, and ever rest in the glorious truth that the Lord, our God, he is God, the faithful God. Amen. Hymn number 125. 125. Verse 2 reads, "He is my refuge in each deep distress, the Lord my strength and glorious righteousness. Through floods and flames he leads me safely on, and daily makes his sovereign goodness known." 125.
Nor will his blood.
Indeed are the language, is the language of our hearts. Oh, that our souls could love and praise thee more. Thy beauty's trace.